Hello and welcome to the Hansen Hour podcast, where we spend an hour or thereabouts deep diving into the band Hansen. I'm your host, Megan, and you can join in with me and a special guest each week as we talk about a range of Hansen-related topics. I'm so excited that you are here to join in on this, so grab a cuppa or a glass of red and settle in for an hour of fun. It's guaranteed to make you smile. Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the Hansen Hour. I'm so excited about our guest today. Alyssa Lederer is a mum of two. And has appeared in shows such as One Tree Hill and Law and Order. You may have also heard her on Nickelodeon, MTV, and a host of other amazing places. But aside from all those amazing places, for sure, one of the most amazing places you've seen her on is the Rosie O'Donnell Show back in, was it 98 or 97? 97. When she got to meet Hansen and live out all our dreams. Alyssa, I am so thrilled to have you on today. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited about this. So I'm going to start asking like all my guests just some easy questions and then we'll get into it. So have you got an all-time favorite Hansen memory that you can talk to us about?
I mean, of course, the all-time favorite memory has to be Rosie O'Donnell. Even though, looking back, I thought for sure that I looked just like them. And I thought for sure, like, if I dress like them and look like them, they're going to see me and fall in love with me. And I'm, like, looking back at that, and I'm like, wow, man. Like, I really missed the mark on that one.
I was
thinking they were going to fall in love with their clone.
Yes, like their sibling. It's funny, and I did want to bring this up because you mentioned, and we will get to talking about it, but you mentioned that in the mall and stuff, people do think that you're related because you actually did.
I did.
You actually did look like them.
I did.
And I thought that that was so funny.
Yeah, I got stopped a lot. Like living in New York, I got stopped a lot asking if I was a sibling, like a Hansen sibling.
Oh, yes. That is so incredible.
And, I was always like, no, I wish I was, but then I couldn't marry them. And it was like this whole, I'm like, oh my God, you're 12.
Yeah, but it's funny too. And I want to get a guest on to talk about this because something else you just mentioned as well was this belief. And I think it's a great belief to have because I still hold on to belief that like anything can happen, but that they would see you and fall so madly in love with you just from like sheer like vision.
Yes. I thought it was going to happen. And yes. I was devastated when it didn't. But, you know, looking back, I can see why.
It all works out.
I can see why I didn't catch their eye. They were probably horrified.
That's so good. All right. What about a favorite Hansen show?
My favorite Hansen show was actually December, right before the pandemic. It was at the House of Blues in Las Vegas, and I actually got to photograph the show.
Oh, incredible.
And that was, for me, like, ultimate. It was, I had a panic attack before, yes. Of course.
Yes.
And I remember the opening act was on and it was Paul McDonald. And I was like, I couldn't go into the photo pit until Hansen came on. So I was just like, you know, in the show. And I had my camera and I had my gear. And I was just like, I was having like heart palpitations. I was like sitting on the ground. I couldn't breathe. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to mess this up. Because I'm sure not many people listening to this have been to the House of Blues in Las Vegas, but the stage, I'll have to send you a picture so maybe you could like see what I'm talking about. But the stage is like, I've got to say 9 feet tall, and I'm 5'3" on a good day. Okay. So like all of my pictures, my hand is in the air, and I like, and I thought again they were gonna see me from the stage, like photographing the show, and they were gonna be like, "There she is, there she is." But no, they definitely couldn't see me at all. But I
finally
could see
your moment. It
my
had
moment
arrived.
Was shattered. But I was, you know, I'm shooting with my hands in the air. I'm trying so hard. I did get amazing photos, and the House of Blues was very pleased with the photos. Wow. It was huge for me. And that was amazing. And then the pandemic happened, and actually I have more favorite shows, but that was a really good one.
It's hard to pinpoint it down. So for those also that don't know, and I didn't mention in the intro, that Alyssa does also have links to her photography pages, and she's got an epic blog. I've seen some really great photos, including one from the Hanson show when you had your room was like you could see the stage.
Oh my god. So it was my birthday weekend this past year, September. And I actually did a collaboration with the hotel, Humphreys, in exchange for photos. And, like, I got to document the concert. And I didn't get to shoot the concert because they didn't have access for that. But I did get to have an awesome room and take pictures of the grounds and all of that stuff. And incredible. I got there and I opened my, like, blinds and the stage was right there. And I was like... oh my God, like, what am I going to see from here? Obviously, I'm going to see the show from, like, my seats, but so then it was, like, almost, like, a couple hours before the show, and I am on my balcony just like, wow, this is amazing, and I see Zach in a tank top walk by, and I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Couldn't breathe. And then they just all got on stage and started doing sound check. And I'm like, oh my God, okay, they're doing a sound check right now. I'm on my balcony. I'm like dancing. I'm living my life for this like private concert, basically. It was incredible. Sound check was absolutely amazing. It was so cool. That was so amazing.
They saw you. Was that the moment? Could that have been the moment where they saw you?
It could have been. I was wearing strategically a pink banana dress because it was right after the whole like banana thing with the banana in the shorts. So I was wearing my special pink banana dress. I mean, it was probably impossible not to see me. I was dancing out of control on my balcony. it was amazing. They didn't fall in love with me there either. That's fine. And then... that was done, and I was like, okay, that was amazing. And then I went and I took my camera and I went and I walked around. I did all the photos that I had to do, you know, for the job while I was there, for the hotel. And then I saw Taylor and I went up to him. I typically wouldn't do that, but he was by himself and I had my camera. I hope he didn't think I was like a weird paparazzi, but I just, you know, gave him a little chat and we took a couple selfies and he was so sweet as always.
So good. Yeah, make sure you pass them along so everyone can live vicariously through you.
I will.
Or they can check out your blog as well.
I'll send them over. It was a very happy day for me. Happy birthday weekend. And that was actually the end of the birthday weekend. It started with the LA show and the Grammy Museum show.
I wanted to ask.
Amazing. It was like three shows in a row. It was so great.
Yes. Did you make it to the Voices Project for in LA?
I didn't, unfortunately. I couldn't make it with my kids, and I was very upset about it, especially like being a singer, and like it just would have been awesome to do, but unfortunately I couldn't make it work. It was only like an hour away from where I am, so I was really bummed about that, but I didn't get to do that.
Kids. That happens. I won my first ever meet and greet, the Red Green Blue Tour Just Gone. I won my first ever meet and greet, but it wasn't in my state. It was in another state, and I couldn't make it because of the kids.
Oh my God.
And I just don't know if you ever get over it. I still hold on to it. I'm like, oh.
I'm still upset. I missed the String Theory show because I was still nursing my daughter. And I had never left her yet, and she couldn't fall asleep, like, without nursing, and I really wanted to do it, and I didn't do it, and I still regret it. Like, she would have been totally fine. She was older. Like, it was so stupid. I'm mad at myself about that. But whatever it is, what it is.
Priorities. Yeah, that's it. So I absolutely loved watching you on The Rosie O'Donnell Show. I thought it was so awesome. And to be honest, your mum, for me, stole the show with her stylings of the time. Man, that was some awesome styling.
Yep, she had quite the look. She looks just the same now. Same. It looks the same.
Oh, I love her.
Looks the same. Sounds the same.
Oh, I love it. Yep. So it's funny too, because how I actually found you was through a fan who gave me a lead, because I was originally looking for the girls that did the Oprah show.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I was looking for the girls that did the Oprah show, and this is where I've sort of been musing on this morning, is because it's made me realize that especially in those early years, the sort of content that fans got based on what countries they lived in was quite varied, whereas now, like, because of the internet and whatnot, everything's quite small. But we didn't, here in Australia, like, we didn't have like cable, so like no MTV, no TRL. We got Oprah, which I think is why I sort of was thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I don't know if Rosie O'Donnell was on in the way that it was shown in America. So all the American girls know who you are. Like, they know this, you know, and it just made me think, because the girl, Katie from Hanson Stage, who I had on in episode one, was talking to me about egos. And I saw in your Rosie clip when they show that amazing room,
I have
that you
shirt.
Had a picture of that. Don't tell me. She's getting something down off the shelf.
Here, hold on. Here it is.
No.
This is my shirt from the Eggo Waffle Box signed from the Rosie Show.
Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness. I am looking at some serious Hanson merch memories here. That is incredible.
I had so many of those Eggo boxes. It was embarrassing.
So I've seen these on Stranger Things as well from Elle. But for us here in Australia, what are Eggos? Is it an egg?
No, they're waffles.
Waffles.
They're waffles. In fact, my daughter exclusively eats Eggo waffles for breakfast, lunch, dinner. Like, it's pretty much all she eats.
Okay. Yes.
They're so just like, they're just waffles and you put them in the toaster and...
Right. Oh, because, Pop-Tarts, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we don't really have Pop-Tarts here, but something similar. So what was Hanson doing on a box of eggs?
I have no idea. I really don't know how that came to be. I wish I had more information about that. I just knew that I saw them on the Eggo box, and it was like, if you collect, like, a certain amount, you get the shirt. I think there was some other merch, too. I don't remember. It was so long ago.
But yeah.
I got the shirt, and that's what I really wanted. And then I brought it on Rosie, and then they signed it.
Yes.
So I've had it since 1997.
How did you get to – talk to us a little bit about, like, how the moment came to be for you.
So my mom actually – I guess my mom saw that they were going to be on the show, and I don't remember if Rosie was, like, accepting videos or if it was, like, a cold video send by my mom. But we made this whole big video, and it was, you know, me talking about how everyone thinks I look like Hanson, and, you know, and then I do the whole welcome to my room, and it's this insane room, which is so embarrassing now, but so cool back then. And it was just everything that you could imagine, including, like, a cardboard cutout that I got from the mall, like, that I somehow was able to get from the record store. It was a big shrine. And I'm surprised that they didn't love me after seeing that.
I know.
I'm like, whoa, what is this girl? She's crazy. Anyway, so then we sent that over, you know, the big tape. And then we got a call saying that they wanted me to come see the show, like, just to be on the audience and see the show. And I didn't know, like, that it was going to be much more than that. But then they called me again, like, maybe a week before the show, like, asking me a couple questions. and they were like, you know, what are some things that Isaac, Taylor, and Zach like? And I was like, oh, you know, Isaac likes chunky peanut butter, and Zach, he loves Twinkies, and Taylor loves jelly beans. And, like, just random stuff that I was just saying. And then when I got there that day to do the show, they had these things there for me to give them. And I was like, oh, my God, I would have said better things. I'm giving Isaac peanut butter? I'm like, this is, I'm so embarrassed. And I was, like, freaking out a little bit at this point. I didn't realize that that was going to be a thing.
Wow, okay.
And I also didn't know that I was going to be, like, pulled on stage to meet them. Yeah, I didn't know any of that. And then they were like, would you like to announce the show? And I was like, yeah, totally, I would love that. And I remember I was so nervous. Like, I could barely get a word out. And the producer was like, if you're not going to do it, we'll get someone else who can. And I was like, I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. And that is where my performance anxiety started. No, it was fine. I was happy that he pushed me to do it. And I know I'm an actor now, but at the time I was only doing, like, small plays. I wasn't really doing any commercials or TV or anything like that. So I was still kind of new to it and still a little bit nervous. And, of course, I was doing it in front of Hanson. So I was like, ah. But I did it, and it was great. And then they had told me that they were going to show the video of the room and that they were going to try to get me to be able to meet them at some point. Yeah, so I didn't really know that that was all going to happen.
Which is really super interesting because as someone, you know, looking back on it, it seemed like, especially when you introduced the show, and if people haven't seen it, you've got to look it up on YouTube. The way you introduced the show is so perfect. Like, it's as if you had been acting or been in the industry for that, like, already for years, because you have such enthusiasm. It's brilliant. It's so good. And I'm also really surprised that you didn't know that what was actually going on. So I was going to ask you if you sort of had met them backstage or if you'd even met them before that moment.
No.
But you didn't.
I didn't. I actually had never seen them at all in concert or anything yet. I was 12. And
wow.
At the time, my mom had a 2-year-old at home, my sister, who's 10 years younger than me. So yeah, I would need someone to take me to these things. So I hadn't gone to anything yet, and I didn't meet them before that. I had my own green room there, and then they brought me out into the audience, you know, with everyone else. And
great.
Then when they came out for the first time, that's when I saw them for the first time.
And can you talk us through, like, did your legs work? Like, were you
nothing
sweaty,
worked.
Shaking?
Nothing worked. That was when I experienced my first panic attack. Nothing worked. My mom was doing a lot of the talking, which was great. And then it came to me, and I just, anytime I watch it, I'm like, oh, my God. Like, God, this was so embarrassing. But
yeah.
I was so nervous. I was so scared.
Meeting them now, like, as an adult, I mean, still whenever I meet them or see them, nothing works. And I don't know, looking back on it, what even came out of my mouth. You just hope that it's, you know, not nonsensical. But back then, it would have been in that moment, especially in that era, with that passion. Mm-hmm. And I know we still have that, but it is different. But mm-hmm. that passion for them, I can't even imagine the, you know, the feeling that that would be like,
yeah.
You know, at that time.
Absolutely.
It's just been incredible.
And I have, like, very few memories of, like, I don't know if you're supposed to remember things from when you're that young, but I really don't have very many memories. But that, like, I remember every single second of, like, that time. That whole
amazing.
Time.
Yeah. So, for those who also haven't seen it, Alyssa was sort of billed as being the number one fan, right? Like, the number one Hanson fan. And I would pretty much say that that's an appropriate term for you and still to this day. So she's got 3,000 posters in her room. You can see in the video. And even wearing like a Hanson t-shirt under a confirmation.
When you wore one every single day. I was like, if I didn't wear one, I like would freak out. I'd like get some like custom made. Like I went crazy. It was it was a lot.
Right.
Not that just get a custom t-shirt in the mail today from Etsy.
Yes.
Nothing has changed.
Nothing is, and I love that. And I want to get someone in to talk about that as well. Like, how it sort of still lives on from like a psychology viewpoint as well. Mm-hmm. Like what is it? It's so interesting. So the t-shirts, because your mom's sitting there with a pile of like t-shirts on her lap. They were all yours. No, nothing staged.
No, it was literally mine. And I remember having I was so nervous that one was going to get lost or something was going to get misplaced and I was going to lose the shirt. I was like, do not lose my shirts, Mom. Don't lose them. Don't lose one shirt. Like, I know what I have. And I was like, oh, I was so scared something was going to get misplaced.
So it is 1997, and you mentioned that you did have a younger sibling at the time. So, mm-hmm. And you also mentioned that you had sort of just started dabbling in acting. Mm-hmm. What sort of things were you doing? Like, what was life like? You were in New York at mm-hmm. the time.
Mm-hmm. I was in middle school.
Okay. Yeah.
I was in seventh grade.
Friends were all into them?
No, not really at all, actually. So I didn't really have that many friends that were into them. But when the day came that I was going on the show, all my teachers at school, I don't know how school is in other places, but middle school in New York was we had periods. So like first period math, second period English, da da da. So at whatever period the Rosie O'Donnell show aired, they watched it live in all my classes. So everyone was watching it live in my classes. Yes. So that was really funny. And then when I got back to school, after it had all happened, there was a bunch of fans that I were not friends with, but they like started to bully me and they were really mean to me. They said that I wasn't a true Hanson fan because I didn't follow them around New York City. I'm like, yeah, because I'm 12. Mm-hmm. Like, I have school. and that went on through high school, honestly. There was a group of girls that tormented me in high school, because they said I wasn't a true fan because I didn't go and wait outside the hotels and do the stalking stuff. That just wasn't my vibe. I wasn't really into that.
Yeah.
And, it was really sad.
It is. And I still see that even trickling through today. And that's why I'm really interested in getting, a psychologist on to talk about, what sort of happens and what makes people have this sort of, I don't know, sense of ownership in a way.
Oh, absolutely.
And still pitting women against each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, even with all that we go through.
Yeah.
And that bullying too, which we know now as adults just comes from jealousy. Mm-hmm. And so much of it is what it is, just this sort of underlying jealousy. Because the love for the band is bizarrely extremely strong mm-hmm. in a lot of women back then and still now, and that sort of brings up all these different emotions in a way that some people deal with that is through such inappropriate behavior such as bullying. So I'm so sorry you had to go through that.
That's okay. It was actually funny. One of the girls, she looked very similar to me, and we had she was a year older than me, and we had the same English teacher, and he'd always be like, oh, you look like, I'm not going to say her name in case she's listening. You know who you are, girlfriend. And she's actually friends with one of my very good friends. And I'm always like, oh, show her this. But so he'd always be like, oh, you guys look so similar and you both love Hanson. Like, why aren't you guys friends? And she just was so, so mean to me. And she had a gang of girls that would just be really mean to me. One time they left cans of Raid in my locker and told me they were going to extinguish me like a bug. Oh, gosh. I was like, you guys, like, it's Hanson. They don't know you. They don't know me. They don't know us. Like, come on. Just because I'm not, like, going to the hotels, it was so, honestly, so stupid. We were, like, 14, 15 years old and, like, so, so stupid.
Did you ever regret, like, in those moments of having those, like, hard times at school, did you ever regret doing the show because of that?
No. To this day, I'm 38 years old and it was one of the very best days of my life.
Yes. Great. Yeah. That's a good answer.
As embarrassing as it was, it's hilarious. I watch the videos all the time because it's so funny. And in fact, one of the last times I met Zach, I had a meet and greet and I, like, showed him the picture of us that Rosie O'Donnell took. I mean, and now, this was a Polaroid in 1997, so it's, like, you can't even see our faces. It's, like, white. I was, like, do you remember this? And, you know, he's, like, I don't remember what happened a week ago.
But, what? So, they don't remember you from the Rosie O'Donnell show?
I mean, maybe they do. I'm not going to say anything. I mean, the red jelly bean was a clue on The Masked Singer. So I'm just going to say and they don't want to admit how much they loved me.
I agree. I agree with all of this so much. Yeah. Just buy your time, darling, because it's coming. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I love it. All right. So you weren't getting to many shows back then. No. What about now?
I went to a couple. You know, all the ones that were happening in New York where I was, you know, I saw them at Jones Beach multiple times, Nassau Coliseum multiple times. They were at Z100 Jingle Ball. I saw them in the city. And then, you know, I moved to the city when I was 15 for college. And that's when I started acting, like fully acting and auditioning and doing commercials and TV and stuff like that. And I saw them anytime I could then, you know, the Virgin Megastore, they had the signing and, you know, some Good Morning Americas. I'd be out there, you know, taking some pictures. Yeah, wow. And then one of my best friends in college, you know, she came to my room and saw that I had a Hanson poster. She's like, oh, my God, you love Hanson, too. And we became quick friends. And we went to
the best part about that is that you had the poster.
Oh, my God. I did. Yes. I did. I still had the posters in college. Okay, it was a lot less though. It was like the 5-foot-tall Albertine tour, you know, poster. A couple of little ones here and there. Okay, it was a lot for a college girl. But we went to all those in the city, you know, like the Virgin Megastore signing, the Nokia Theater, Carnegie Hall, all of those we went to together. Yeah, and she's still, to this day, my concert buddy. She came with me to Vegas and talked me through while I was panicking. Hi, Elizabeth. She was helping me get through that. So that was great.
Incredible. You need one of those buddies.
Yes, for sure.
And now, obviously, too, like, you're still, we're, as adults, like, I guess, like, the breadth of our ability to travel and financial situations allow us to, at our own whim, do what we want with touring.
Exactly.
Do you get to much, you are a mum of two little ones, but are you getting out to much shows, like, the Red, Green, Blue tour? Did you get to any of that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did. Like I said, I went to, two, and then the Grammy Museum.
Yes.
So that was great. That was amazing. So great. I did the San Diego show and the LA show and the Grammy Museum.
Do people come up to you? It's like, if I saw you at a show, I would be like, oh my God, Alyssa. Like,
do people
come up to you?
Some people do. I mean, I look completely different, thank God. I don't look like a Hanson anymore. I look like a normal person. I'm not trying to be them anymore, so that's great. Some people do recognize me, but I love it. I think it's great. I think it's fun.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to get you out to Australia.
Oh, I would love to. I have a bunch of friends that live in Australia. That I haven't met, some that I have met. All Hanson friends, my Hanson online friends.
Cool. I love that. All right. So as part of what I'm doing on this podcast is unpacking a song in chronological order from chronological albums. And at the moment I'm working on Middle of Nowhere. So I just unpacked in my first episode Thinking of You, which would mean typically that Mbop is next, but I've got someone coming on to talk about that in a little while. So with you, we're going to be unpacking Weird, which is actually great because...
It's fitting.
It's fitting for me. And it was filmed in NYC.
Yes, it was.
Which is awesome too. And as a New Yorker, do you recognize, you know, a lot of the shots from that clip?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, they're shooting on the subway, of course, which is something that I rode millions of times, you know, probably 10 times a day, going to and from auditions, shoots, school, concerts, whatever it may be. So that's really cool. And then they're, you know, busking in the subway station, which is so cool because that's something you see all the time in New York. When you're going through the subway, you always see the buskers and they're playing music. And sometimes it's horrible and sometimes it's amazing. And you have to think, like, what would it be like if, like, you did go there and you saw Hanson busking? You know, how cool would that be? But, yeah, so I love that. That's so cool. And then there's this, a part in it where they're just walking down Times Square. And right before I moved to L.A., where I live now, I lived on 41st Street, right next to Times Square.
That's so it's like so good.
My neighborhood.
I love it. I wonder how... I've always wondered, especially with things like Where's the Love video as well, how the extras came to be. Like, how are we not finding out? I guess with what was the one you could go to? Get the Girl Back?
Yeah, so I have a friend that was in that, Elizabeth. Hey again, girl. I think she had said, because she moved to LA way before me. I wasn't in LA at the time. I think she said that there was a tweet went out on Twitter, and it said, like, if you want to be in this music video, like, you know, respond to this tweet and we'll get you the information. And anyway, she did that and she got to be in the music video. I will double check, fact check that for you, but I'm pretty sure she said it was a tweet. But before that, other ones, like, you know, the early days ones, just being an actor and my experience, it would typically be like, there's specific casting directors that just cast for extras. And, you know, you never know what it is, though. Like, you don't know. Like, it wouldn't say Hanson music video extras. Oh. It would be like extras for huge pop star. And then you just submit, or, you know, back then it would be they would submit for you, or you would do the, you know, the little phone call. It was so different back then than now. but that's how that would work. So typically the people wouldn't even know until they got there who they would be.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Unless it was a lead role, then that would go through auditions.
Yeah. So I love New York. I'm a big New York fan. I have been to LA a couple of times as well, but my heart in terms of America or like the US sits in New York. So my mum actually lived there for 6 years and I was very lucky to be able to travel back and forth consistently. So I had heard Wind at some point. I don't know what year this was in, but I've since found out that I was maybe like even a year too late, that Hanson were spending some time at an apartment in New York. They were living in New York, and I drove around in a taxi. The thing about America, too, for people that are Australian that are going over there, they free pour their bloody drinks. And I can drink, but in America, I would just get so drunk so quickly because people are free pouring. So I ended up sort of finding the apartment and being in, you know, a typical yellow taxi cab and just vomiting.
Oh, like, my God, that's so funny.
Whilst sort of screaming out, like, Isaac Hanson.
But did you see them? Did you find them?
No, and I think the thing is, I think they'd already moved, like, back away. I think it was totally fruitless. But again, had they seen me vomit all over, again, probably would have fallen in love.
Exactly.
You know what it's like.
Exactly.
So do you know this apartment that I'm talking about? Did you know they were there? Did you sort of get any intel?
I did know. I didn't go to it. I had, you know, tried to get some information, but again, I didn't. Just like why those girls told me that I wasn't a true Hanson fan because I wasn't stalking them at the hotel.
You're not the
kind. I didn't stalk. I didn't do
that. I appreciate that about
you. I just thought that it was going to be left to fate. That
yes, I so get you. I still do.
Yeah. I know. So do I.
So funny. I love it. Okay, so just coming back to the weird film clip. Do you remember when that clip came out? Because it was really. I feel like here, anyway, I don't know what your experience was, because it was a Gus Van Sant clip, it was really hyped up at the time as being, like, really artsy, the huge famous director. When the clip came out, what was your sort of initial reaction to it?
Well, I mean, I loved anything that came out ever of them. So I already knew that I was obsessed with it before it even happened. but, yeah, I loved it because it was, you know, New York. I loved it because it was one of my favorite songs. I felt that it was such an underrated song, ahead of its time, honestly. I feel like it's so much more, like, poignant now. People will hear it and, like, be like, wow, like, those were children writing that. Like, how did they know that? How did they, like, same with Mbop, how did they have that kind of, like, emotional ties to anything to come up with something like that, you know? Or to feel that way. So I think, you know, listening to it now, you're like, wow, like, that was a really good song.
Amazing. It is really good. For me, I remember, like, lyrically, and I don't know if this was the same for you, like, I can't remember how old I was, but early teens, and it was for, like, if I say, like, emo, do you... So, like, it was my first emo moment. Like, I remember being really like, like, real. Yeah, it's weird and, like, I don't want to fit in. It was that sort of thing. And I think lyrically it really did connect with me at that time. And you're right, looking back on it, and this is something that I find fascinating about Hanson, is that now as we sort of learn more and more about them through their own podcast interviews and things that they do sort of outside of just playing music, you can see that theme that they still hold on to really strongly in terms of the kind of people that they are and what their values are was there right from the start. And I think just to be an artist and stick with that is incredible. So, and weird. And yeah, you're right. Mbop, and there's, you know, there'd be a plethora of other ones that fit that mold as well. It is really quite incredible when you think about it.
And probably one of the reasons why they have, you know, been able to withstand time, you know, and make music this many years later, 30 years, like, you don't do that if you're not good, you know? And that's, you know, something now people are like, oh, Hanson, they're still around. I'm like, you don't even know. Like, I swear they are the number one most underrated band in history. I will stand by that. I say it all the time.
Yeah, I love that. I think I totally agree with you. It's like, there's a, like, for some reason, Leonardo DiCaprio comes to mind because I think he's so freaking fantastic, but he's never, like, you know, awarded through award shows and things like that until just very recently. And it is true. And I think that they really do get typecast into that. I feel the small winds of change there in terms of people sort of starting to have a little bit of recognition. But I totally agree with you. 100% so underrated.
Yeah. Well, good for us because we can get tickets to shows.
That's what I think too.
And they're doing just fine. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So Weird was the fourth single off the Middle of Nowhere album. So it was after So Mbop was first, Where's the Love, I Will Come to You, and then we have Weird. So it was actually, out of the all of those ones, the worst performing single off that album. So it charted 31. So it only got to 31 at the US Billboard charts. And we're talking about being, you know, underrated, but that was a really good song. And I think that the film clip was actually, off of that album, the best film clip.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think? Like, do you think people were just fatiguing of them at that time? Or why? What's your opinion on maybe why it didn't chart as highly as the others?
I think back in those times, back in the 90s, you know, it wasn't necessarily cool to be weird or cool to not fit in, whereas now it's like cool and trendy to be weird, and it's cool and trendy to be different and to not fit in and not be cookie cutter. And it wasn't back then. So if that song came out now, like, it would be a chart topper. But also, it's not a bop, you know, it's not like a catchy tune. It's like an emo kind of, like, you're just gonna listen to it and you're gonna be like, oh wow, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So weird, you know? So I think it was a little bit ahead of its time.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I just think people, like I said, people didn't have the same mentality that they do now, where it's so cool now to be different.
Yeah. I think that you're so spot on. I hadn't given it much thought because I knew I was going to give that question to you. And I give hard questions to the guests. But, yeah, I think you're absolutely right, because I remember, yeah, even the film clip, it was quite different, you know. And now I guess the people appearing in the film clip wouldn't be considered weird anymore.
Right, exactly. I was thinking that today. I was watching it again and I was like, yeah, it's like some are like emo or like goth, you know, and there's like a plethora of twins. And I'm like, this stuff's not weird, right? Like at all right now, you know? So
no.
that was pretty funny too.
Yeah, it is. It is so funny looking back on it. So we're about to wrap up, but I just want to, you know, ask you before we finish. So you are LA based, you are, you know, circling around the industry. Have you got any good Hanson stories? Like, do you ever just happen to pop into them? Have you been to any parties where they've been at? Have you got any good things you can share with the pod before we go?
I wish I did. I really do. I know that they do spend some time in LA, but unfortunately I have never, ever had a random run-in, which is a shame, big shame. But I will say that in a lot of my auditions, I do bring up Hanson because they always ask for like fun facts or, you know, something weird about you or, you know, what's your hobby? And it always kind of ties back to Hanson. So pretty much every audition I have, I talk about it. So I think sometime someone's going to be like, I know them, actually.
Yes.
But it hasn't happened yet.
I love it. And I think it really, I talk about this in my, like, little intro. I made a little 10-minute intro talking about, like, introducing myself, why I'm doing the pod. And I think as an adult, holding on to, you know, and it is so silly, but, you know, I'm a big believer in manifestation and action and all that sort of stuff. And I think holding on to those big feelings and like belief systems that we had even way back then when we were kids. I mean, look, it got you on the Rosie O'Donnell show. You know, it is something to really hold on to in your heart. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah, those big things.
Totally.
I love it. All right. So if people want to follow you, find out more about you, hit up your website, look at your amazing photography, look at your blogs, all the awesome things that you're doing, where can they find you?
On Instagram is probably the best place. I'm Miss Alyssa, MissAlyssa on Instagram.
Perfect. And I'll put all of that in the show notes for people that want to check that out as well. But for now, thank you so much. This has been so much fun. I really appreciate you coming on.
This was awesome. It's always so fun to talk with someone else about Hanson, because everyone here, I'm like, my daughter will be like, Hanson, you talk about Hanson? What's Hanson?
Have they got to go to any shows or anything? I promised I would not tell anyone, but I got this like incredible moment in this past tour to sneak my kids into a show, and it was so full circle, like for me, for them, for the whole family. It's something we still talk about. Do you plan on taking them along, like when you can?
I mean, maybe. I do like to go by myself. But yeah, my daughter, she, you know, anytime I'm playing Hanson, she's like, Mommy, this isn't kids' music. I want to listen to kids' music. You know, I just turn on the kids' music. So she's not, I know she wouldn't appreciate it yet, but as soon as she wants to go with me, great. I will take her and it will be amazing. Yeah. But for now, yeah, it's just, they have not gone to anything. It's just been me.
Yeah. Perfect. All right. Well, thank you so much again.
Thank you so much. This was awesome.
See you soon.